Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
All right, let's see what the candidates themselves found on the campaign trail this weekend. WBUR's David Bowery, thanks a lot. But both of the major party candidates crisscrossed the state in one final Saturday and Sunday. WBUR's Fred Tice spent the weekend with incumbent Deval Patrick, while Anthony Brooks traveled with Republican Charlie Baker. Anthony or Fred are here in the studio with us this morning in Plymouth. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning to you, Bob.
Let's start with a message. What the candidates were saying this weekend as they tried to motivate the voters one final time. Anthony, tell us about Charlie Baker.
Well, Charlie Baker is really trying to reach those voters who are really, I would say, worried about the current economy, who have that sense of insecurity. They're worried about jobs. And Baker sounds mad when he gets on the stump, and he's sort of trying to channel that anger. You know, if Patrick sees the glass as half full, it's Charlie Baker who sees the glass as half empty. And again and again, his message is, if you like the way things have been going for the last 4 years, vote for Governor Patrick. But he says, if you want change, you need to change the people in charge. And he's been here he is. Let's listen. Here he is speaking yesterday in Beverly.
Now, we know what we're going to get with 4 more years of Governor Patrick. We're going to get exactly what we got for the last 4 years because he thinks it's working. We lost 20,000 jobs in September, the largest single month of job loss in 20 years. And the governor said, hey, the economy's heading in the right direction. We have a $2 billion budget deficit that the governor is handing to the next governor.
Okay, that was Charlie Baker's message. Fred Tice, what was Governor Patrick saying? What was his message?
Well, one of the things he's saying, Bob, is that while Baker is, as in the words of the governor, trying to bring down Massachusetts by talking it down, he wants to talk it up. I have to tell you, since I've been covering him, I haven't seen him on fire like this since maybe the beginning of his term, since his inauguration. He's really found his voice again, and he is presenting himself now as the defender of the American dream. Throughout this weekend, Patrick kept bringing his message back to the unemployed.
What they want to know is that we see them, that we're worried about them, that what we are doing is about helping them help themselves. So if you believe that government is about people, not abstract policy, that government is about neighbors, not numbers, this is your team.
Pretty clear how he's trying to establish the difference here between himself and his opponent.
Those were the messages, two very different messages. But what about the crowds? Who was there listening, Fred? There was one set of hands clapping behind the governor there.
Well, there were a lot of people at most of the events who attended. There's, I'd say, about 100 to 200 people. Largely, they were committed Democrats already out volunteering for the governor. There were occasionally the curious neighbors, but already people who were pretty sympathetic to him. What I have to say, the difference in the crowds between the crowds for Governor Patrick and the crowds I saw for Martha Coakley last January is that these crowds, are not only are they larger, but they are also far more enthusiastic. I did not, however, see anybody who was not already a committed Democrat in any of these events. So there was no curious voter who was being swept into the Patrick tide, let's say.
Okay. Anthony, what about the Baker rallies?
Well, Baker crisscrossed the state in two big buses. On Saturday, he traveled with Senator Scott Brown. Yesterday, he was with Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling. So he's trying to capitalize on some star power there. In terms of the crowds, they were big. They were enthusiastic. He ended yesterday in Beverly, I'd say 300-400 people. And, these are committed Republicans. A lot of them are being bussed in, and this is the hallmark of well-organized political campaigns. But having said that, I would also add that I was struck by how many independents I came across. This is just anecdotally. I mean, the handful of people that I spoke to, these are people who even said they voted for Patrick 4 years ago, but they're voting for Baker now. And here's an example. This is Kevin Connolly. He's an independent from Holliston.
I don't think we're going in the right direction with the proper speed. I mean, I own my own business. It's a small business. And you got to have fiscal responsibility to run a business. If you don't, you go belly up. And the government doesn't go belly up. They just add to the tax base. And I think Charlie is fiscally responsible, where he'll get the state in fiscal shape.
And so, Bob, a couple of people like that, and I was struck by, you know, a Pew Research Center poll came out over the weekend showing that compared to 4 years ago when those independents were breaking for the Democrats, this year they're breaking for Republicans. That voter and others that I spoke to are emblematic of that.
Anthony, Fred, I want to ask both of you quickly about where these candidates and where these campaigns think they are going into the final few hours of this campaign. Anthony, what are the Baker people telling you about whether they think they have the edge going into Election Day? And if they say they do, what's the rationale?
Well, the spin is, of course, it's spin, they say they do. Their rationale is this. The latest polls suggest this race is basically a dead heat. They say that's good for them. They're comfortable with it because that means that Baker has closed the gap. And during these final days, they argue the momentum, the excitement has shifted to their side. We'll see if they're right.
All right. Anthony Brooks, Fred, how's that compare to what the Patrick campaign is saying? What's the strategy there?
The strategy there is to make sure that Democrats who don't always vote turn out to vote. So those folks who may have voted for President Obama in 2008 but did not show up to vote for Martha Coakley in January, those are the people that they're targeting. And not only are they targeting them by phone, they're also going door to door because they feel that these days people just let the answering machine or the voicemail answer the home phones.
And are they feeling pretty good about putting Governor Patrick back in the corner office for four more years?
They are clear that they feel like this is a very tight election. I mean, I'm not sensing great confidence there, but I'm not sensing any sense of defeatism either. I think they can pull this off, but it's not going to be easy.
WBUR's Fred Tice, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bob.
And same to you, Anthony Brooks.
Thanks, Bob.